Lord, we give you glory even now. Lord, I ask that you speak clearly. Open the minds of those that are here to understand, to listen, and to accept your truth for what it is. God, what a blessing it is to know that we can serve the creator of the universe, but not just serve him. We can have a relationship with him because he loves us. You love us, Lord. So make again this word, make it crystal clear. Don't let anyone leave out of those doors without knowing a little bit more about you. And for the skeptic that's sitting here, give them a taste of your goodness. Let them taste and see that the Lord is good. Because it's your kindness that leads to repentance, Lord. Show them that kindness today. Lord, we ask that you be with the leaders of our nation, those in authority, those that you have put in authority over us from a human standpoint. God, I ask that you wrap your word around their mind so much so that they become God-fearing men and women and draw this nation back to the biblical morals that it was established and founded on. Why? Because that works. But God, we also pray for peace. Help us be peacemakers. Help us be light in the darkness. Help us be the voice of reason where the waves are chaotic and people don't know where to look. We point them to you. So God, we give you the glory. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray these things. And all of God's people said, amen. Hey, so if you're just coming in now, we last week finished up our study on the book of Revelation where we journeyed through that book for about a year and year and a half or so, and now we're gonna dive into the book of Jonah. You guys like what I did there? We're gonna dive into the book of Jonah. This book is fantastic. I've been reading it a lot over the last few weeks as I've been preparing my own heart to bring this to you. I pray that you get something new out of it. If you've been in the church for a number of years, you've probably read this book since you were 5 years old. But the extraordinary thing about God's word is that it's infinite, so you can get something new out of it every time you read through it. It's an easy read. If you're not a Christian and you want to know somewhere to start, well, of course, I'd point you to one of the Gospels, preferably John. But I would also say check out Jonah too. That's a really good book to see God's grace at hand, even in the Old Testament. There's metaphors that are absolutely profound throughout this book, and if you read them with the gospel in one hand and Jonah in the other, you'll see just how much power is in the simplicity of this book. Now, I want to give a little bit of context before we dive in. I believe context is important because as we seek to understand what this book is for us, we need to understand to whom it was written to originally. That's very important as we do what's called an exegesis, or we discern the text. Let me start by saying that the timing of the authorship of this book was about 800 years before the birth of Jesus, 800 years B.C. Now, many scholars hold true to that. They say that's probably within a couple hundred years to be safe. Now, to this day, there's no real conclusion as to who is responsible for the authorship of Jonah. And as I said last service, that if you were to ask me who wrote it, I would tell you that it probably wasn't Jonah himself, but perhaps someone that was very close to Jonah, because there's not many people hanging out in the belly of a whale or a fish with him, right? So they can't be like, yeah, I saw that. So what happened is Jonah probably told someone, maybe when he was preaching in Nineveh, and he was testifying about what he went through, or just a close friend. I don't know, that God's word doesn't give us that. So it's not right for me to draw any firm conclusions, but that's just a guess that I would say, a hypothesis, if you will. Now, as we look a little deeper, there's a couple key themes that I want us to keep in mind as we are studying this for ourselves and as we're preaching through it over the course of the next few months. By the way, it's not going to take half as long as Revelation did. This one is only 4 chapters, but we are going to get through it line by line as always. But here's a couple themes that I want you to remember, and even write this down if you're a note taker, because you're going to see this is intertwined throughout every message. The first theme is this: can you escape God's will for your life? Can you escape God's will for your life? If God has called you to something, can you escape it? It's a good question. And really, it runs real deep if you start going there. So that's the first theme. Can you escape God's will for your life? And the second theme, often overlooked as you read through the book of Jonah, because you're just so taken back by the fish and Jonah's rebellion and all that. But it's really, I would say, it's a key theme throughout this book. And again, you're going to see it intertwined throughout all the messages. And it's this: is there hope for a sinful nation? Is there hope for a sinful nation? These are going to be questions, again, that are going to be etched into each message throughout this book. And as we get the answers to them, we're going to see just how practical this book is to our own lives and to our purpose as we seek to serve the Lord, but also the overall role we play as Christians in a nation that can so quickly rebel against God and His ways. So what is our role in a nation such as that? We're not familiar with a nation like that, though, right? So as you're going to see, this is a very practical book, and as I did with Revelation, I welcome you to study ahead and read ahead and study this book very well. You can read it, the whole book, from chapter 1 till the end in just really a few minutes. I mean, you don't even need a half hour. And as I prepare the message, it helps if you know what I'm preaching on ahead of time. So I welcome you to pick up God's Word, go through the book of Jonah, add it to your daily devotional time, or just read it through once a week. Amen? All right, let's get into it. Jonah chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6 today. We'll look at verses 1 through 6 today. The message is going to be called The Call, The Consequence, and The Command. The call, the consequence, and the command. We'll start by reading verses 1 through 3. I hear no Bibles flapping. Are you guys there? Say, I'm there. All right, amen. Let's go. 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. What a dangerous place to be. Point number one is this. God speaks whether we listen or not. God speaks whether we listen or not. This book starts out with words that are absolutely profound. It says this: the word of the Lord came to Jonah. I could preach a whole message just on those. I think I said 7 words last week, but there's actually 8. I can preach an entire message on those 8 words right there. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. My friend, what a blessing it is that God would choose to speak. What a blessing it is that we don't have to labor to hear from God. What an honor it is that there is a creator of the universe, that there is this perfect and holy God, all-powerful and all-sovereign. What a blessing it is that this type of God, that this God exists. It's a breath of fresh air. But my friend, He doesn't just exist. He speaks. And He not only speaks, we have what he has said written right here in His Word. That's why we call it His Word. But how interesting is it that the Word of the Lord would come upon a man that God fully knew was going to stray. Isn't that interesting? Did you catch that? The word of the Lord came upon a man with that God, being all sovereign and all knowing, knew that he was going to stray. But the word of the Lord came upon him anyway. You read that and you think, how in the world can a man stray when God directly told him what to do? How can someone stray when God speaks verbatim as to what they need to do? Many of us spend days, weeks, months, even years discerning and fasting and praying and pressing in on the Lord for what His will is for our life regarding just one specific situation. Yet here is Jonah being spoken to directly, and he still decides to do what? Go a different route. It's interesting because if you're honest with yourself, you'll realize that you and myself have done that exact same thing time and time and time and time again. But here's what gets me. God directly told Jonah what to do, and he intentionally got up to do the opposite. It wasn't a type of situation where Jonah was lazy and reluctant. He didn't stand around and throw a pity party or whine about what God was telling him to do, kind of like Moses. Remember, I'm not capable. I have this stutter. I need help. Send someone to help me. But Jonah didn't do any of that. He literally got up and did the opposite of what God told him to do. Man, there are so many times that I have witnessed so many people do the same exact thing, and you know where it led them? Right to rock bottom. And when it leads them to rock bottom, they then raise their fist and start to blame God for putting them in that situation. But the misunderstanding is that it's not God that brought them to the consequence, it's the result of their own decision. Did you hear that? I have too many conversations with too many parents that have raised their child in the way that they should go. They have prayed for their children and they have raised them in the church. They have loved their kids with every part of their being and they've provided every one of their need. They were there to hug them when those hard times came in school and give them everything that they needed to thrive and live a fruitful life. And then all of a sudden, this child that was once laughing throughout the home grows up, turns into adult, and the kid becomes an absolute wreck. Then they start taking drugs and they drink till the sun comes up. They start to support this woke culture and become vocal about it and join in the movement. They laugh at any mention of God or church. They think of the godly way that they were raised, and they do nothing but laugh and scoff at it. And it leaves the parents looking at the child and asking themselves, but where in the world did I go wrong? But you see, that's the question that's often asked when you're looking at the present situation instead of the future promises. A lot of times God simply allows this child or your kid to go through the consequences of his or her own decision only to come to the end of himself, where he or she then realizes that God was in control the entire time. And it's when they get to that point that fist that was raised up at God becomes hands open in worship. Any of us that have walked with Jesus for any amount of time have these people that are very close to us, and they are so blatantly rebelling against the very God that is calling them to so much joy and so much purpose. It's almost like they're insulted by the way that they were raised, instead of realizing that being raised in a Christian home by God-fearing parents is probably the greatest blessing that any child could ever have. So once the word of the Lord came upon Jonah, He then told Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh to call out against it. Now, here's a detail we can't overlook. God says, go to Nineveh, call out against it. Their evil has come up to me. In other words, go and prophesy to this wicked nation and tell them to turn back to God because their evil has been going on for far too long. Now here you see a conviction that still holds true today. God is calling one of his followers to go and preach to a nation that has strayed from his ways. Do you see that, church? And you know what he was going to preach to this nation that would make them change their ways? Was he going to tell them a feel-good story? Read them a nice self-help book? Maybe start throwing crystals at them? He was going to preach to them the truth of God's word. God tells Jonah to call out against the nation. Because when a nation is rebelling, anything that is godly seems to be opposition. Okay, I'm going to say that again. I want to make sure we catch that. When a nation is rebelling, anything that is godly seems to be in opposition. You see this today, and it brings us to an important point. You're saying, oh man, here he goes on his politics again. This is not politics, my friend. It's right here. The church is not just some place you visit on Sunday mornings to make you feel good and uplifted to start your week. The people of God that make up the church are the people that God calls to be the salt and light of the earth. It is us, people of God, followers of Jesus, that are called to shed light on that which is evil. This is not political. This is right in God's word. Jonah, a prophet of God, being called to specifically go to a nation and reveal the evil that is taking place in it. It is the followers of God that are called to boldly stand our ground for the sake of the gospel. When a nation is in uproar, the Christian must stand firm and do what? Open your mouth and speak. Why? Because the evil of a nation will surely reach up to God, and the results of that are something that no person ever wants to witness, let alone be a victim of. But it's interesting because God was calling a man to go and call out a rebellious nation to draw them back to him, and Jonah then becomes a rebellious one. Calling a rebellious man to call out a rebellious nation. Wouldn't it have made more sense for God to use a person that had everything together, had all of the seminary degrees and the nice suit and tie and was properly equipped to go and to do all the work of the ministry? Wouldn't it have made more sense if God would have used a man that had his ducks in a row and in total submission and ready and prepared to do this work? But here is Jonah, a stubborn, hard-headed, short-fused, rebellious man, and God says, I want to use this one. Man, let me tell you that these are the people that God loves to use. Any reasonable person would have passed up on this dude because he was too much of a project. But the God that we serve saw fit because he was a project. You see, God is in the business of using broken, rebellious people to do his work because that is the way that he gets the glory. My friend, he has done it for me, and he has done it for you. Can we praise God that he uses broken people to do his work? God speaks whether we are listening or not. God speaks. Verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. We're going to stop right there. Point number 2. Blatant rebellion leads to obvious consequences. Blatant rebellion leads to obvious consequences. So the word of God comes upon Jonah, tells him to go to Nineveh, point those people that are there back to God. Jonah then openly rebels, hops on this ship that he actually had to pay for. You could see that just a couple verses back. And he jumps on this boat and goes in the complete opposite direction. Then you see something takes place that I would like to call a gentle course correction. But seriously, though this comes off as like a horrendous, worse than you can imagine consequence to Jonah for him trying to escape the will of God, it's really what it should be considered is discipline that God is allowing Jonah to walk through. I say that, Hebrews 12, verse 6, it says this, "For the Lord disciplines the ones that he loves." The Lord disciplines the ones that he loves and chastises everyone whom he receives. Jonah determines in his mind that he is going to run away from God, and as soon as he gets on the boat, the world around him, as he knows it, starts to fall apart. Man, if you've ever tried to run from God's purpose on your life, this sounds all too familiar. A mentor has said to me before, if God calls you to something, try doing anything else in your life and you'll end up right back to where he called you. And it's interesting because if he's truly calling you to something, you can't let it go. You can't let it go. It never leaves the depth of your heart and the front of your mind. It's almost as if you need to do it, because if you don't do this, you are not going to feel accomplished, or you're not going to feel fulfilled. Your purpose from God is something that he presses on your mind, and you think about it all the time, and it's a constant craving that you have to begin to take steps in the direction. You feel like if you don't, you're going to miss out on something. And if you know what this call is, but you decide not to do it out of your own rebellion, there are so many different things that will begin to happen to you that are a direct result of your choosing to not to do God's will. Maybe I should give you some practical examples. You find yourself outside of God's will because you know what his will is for your life. You're saying, I know he's calling me to that. I'm not doing it. You find yourself working harder and harder only to fall further and further behind. You notice that every corner that you turn, there's just another situation that you have to overcome, and you don't ever know how you're going to do it. And as these situations begin to boil over, you decide to keep running because there's no way that you're ever going to turn back to God. And as you keep running, these things keep piling up and getting worse and worse. You see, what is happening in that situation is that God is graciously showing you his grace because he's gently trying to turn you back to him. And here is when you have a choice. Do you get back on track, or do you keep going in the direction that you want to go? Because when you keep running, you have to work very hard for very little fruit, if any. You find yourself saying, I just feel like I'm worth more than this. I feel like my life has something greater ahead of it. I feel like there's just something more that I need to do. Well, why don't you seek the Lord? No, I'm going to do that on my own. Not only this, but you don't have joy when you're doing what God has called you to do, and you feel like you're in this rat race with no end in sight. My friend, if you are in that position today where you are running in the opposite direction from God, can I tell you, can I beg you, stop running. Stop running. Bring to light the fact that you know the truth and understand that God has so much more for your life. Besides, what would you really want to be lying on your deathbed thinking these two words? What if? What if? What if I would have given my everything to what God has called me to do? What if I would have set aside my pride and stepped into God's call on my life? What if I would have done that? Do you really want to think, what if? Or do you want to be running full speed ahead to your grave? Because you're operating right smack dab in the middle of God's call on your life, and you never want to retire from it because of the amount of joy and fulfillment that results in doing exactly what it is that God has called you to do. I've heard it said before, you never retire from ministry. When you give up running and you finally turn back to Him, He takes what was broken within you and He doesn't necessarily fix it, but He uses it to show you just how good and gracious of a Father He is. Man, when I was running from the Lord, everywhere I turned, things were going wrong. I remember one night I was getting things set up. I was going to have a whole bunch of friends over, and we were going to do the big bonfire, and we were going to do things, maybe I'll just say that we're less than godly. Can I put it that way? And I'm starting to get things ready for this fire, and I'm just like, in my head, I could just tell that this was just not what I was supposed to be doing, but I kept doing it. I'm splitting wood for this bonfire. A piece of the nail flies off, goes right in my shin. I think it's still there today. So I ended up giving up on all that, and I'm like, okay, that's not for me. I'm going to go move my car. So I get my car, put it in reverse, run right into a pole. I'm not making this stuff up. I don't have the car anymore to show you, but I kid you not, it was just an absolute wreck, all in the matter of minutes. But what was happening there, as I look back, and God brought this to my mind as I was preparing this message for you, is that God was showing me that this is not the right path to go down, Ryan. This is not it. You can back out at any time. But of course, I just kept going and kept going for years. And looking back, every time that I would participate in drugs and partying, God would make it more and more clear to me that the path that I was going down was not the path that He wanted me on. And even so, I just kept going. What is important to understand is that just because God was bringing consequences on me that I deserved, hear this, church, He also kept His hand on my life to preserve it. I should have been arrested or dead many times for everything that I did. But by the grace of God, I never saw the inside of a jail cell. And of course, I'm up here before you today, all because of the goodness and sovereignty of God, even though I tried so hard to run away. Like Jonah, it took me being on a bed in a hospital room with blood all over me from head to toe and a doctor saying to me, son, you are so lucky to be alive from everything that you just did. It was these words from this doctor that drove me to my knees, forced me into God's word, and pressed upon me the promise that I am going to preach His word someday. You see, it wasn't luck that resulted in my life being spared. It was the hand of God that kept me, because He had something far greater for me than I could have ever thought or asked for myself or imagined. But of course, I had to swallow my pride, allow the Lord to humble me, but I had to go all in for God and His word. Yes, blatant rebellion results in obvious consequences, but His grace, hear this, is so much more than sufficient. And if you're waiting to find what that call is on your life, my guess is that you already know. You just have to start taking steps in that direction. Stop waiting. Start listening. And start walking. Stop waiting, start listening, and start walking. Let's read verses 5 and 6. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us and that we may not perish. Point number 3, it's our final point today. It's never too late to turn back to Jesus. It's never too late to turn back to Jesus. If you have breath in your lungs, it's never too late. Now the people on the boat, they're beginning to panic because their boat is falling apart and the storm, it's just getting more and more severe. And as they begin to hurl things over the side, they see that the captain of the boat, he sees that Jonah is all curled up with one of those My Pillows on the bottom of the boat. My friend, let me tell you that the worst place that you could possibly be in this life is comfortable living in rebellion to God. If you get yourself to a point that you are numb to conviction, what you have on your hands is a recipe for disaster. A recipe for disaster. It's no wonder that Jonah was sleeping as he was running in the opposite direction. You see, when you're operating outside of God's will for your life, one of the things that you enjoy to do the most is sleep, because it takes your mind off of reality. That's the exact reason that people turn to drugs and alcohol and other things to play with their mind. It's because it creates a further barrier between them and God. Jonah was at the bottom of the boat. He's curled up resting while the rest of the people on the boat were in absolute panic. But you can already see here, just in the first six verses of the book, people that you can already see that they begin to see exactly how God is using Jonah's rebellion for his glory. Can you believe that? Jonah is on a boat going the opposite direction, and yet the Lord is going to use him for his glory. The people are trying to keep things afloat. They're throwing things overboard. Everything that they own, everything that belongs to them, their possessions, and all of a sudden they say, well, this ain't working. Let's turn to God now. You see, it's not a surprise that people turn to God in the middle of an unexpected, chaotic situation. You see, God is the calm in the middle of the storm. He is the voice of reason in a wave of lies. It's without question that people begin to see God when the world is falling apart around them. It's all too often what it takes for people to finally reach out to their Creator is the crumbling of their world. Sometimes it's in a hospital bed. Sometimes it's in a jail cell. Sometimes it's sitting across the table from your spouse with divorce papers on the table. Sometimes it's a failing report card. All too often, this is what it takes for rebellion to finally come to an end. This storm came out of nowhere. The boat starts falling apart. The people's lives are flashing before their eyes because of how severe this storm is. And it's like someone said, man, I wish there was a God who could say, be still. You see, the issue with crying out to a God is that it doesn't have the power that our God has. Come on, somebody. The issue with crying out to a God is that it doesn't have the power that our God has. Turning to God in the middle of the storm is only worth it if that God that you turn to is the true God. You hear people say things like this, well, those energies in the world are pointing me to my true north. Or the stars are going to start aligning for me eventually. And then as a follower of Jesus, you just say, do you hear yourself right now, man? What are you even talking about? Your stars are going to align. You're turning to a God, but you're not turning to the God. You see, a lowercase God will not get you out of your situation. The one true God will get you out of the situation. But not only that, he will redeem that situation for your good and his glory. Oh, and by the way, he will protect you as you go through it, and there will be fruit because of it. So many wait for things to get to the worst that they possibly can be before they finally turn to Jesus. My friend, you don't have to wait. You can look to him now and step into his call on your life, and he will open doors for you that you never thought possible. You just have to listen, you have to wait, and you have to start walking. So all the people, they're calling out to a God, and the captain decides to go down to the bottom of the boat, probably looking for more luggage to throw over the side, and he sees Jonah lying there asleep and then says to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. I doubt that this was a calm conversation. This captain probably jumped down the ladder, saw Jonah sleeping, and starts yelling at him, "Can't you see that we're all about to drown? Can't you see that we're all throwing our stuff overboard with the hope that it will keep us too from going under? What are you doing down here? Not doing anything. You are sleeping. Arise, you sleeper." Remember those three words. Arise, you sleeper. My friend, God calls you to arise today. You may be working at a job that you're feeling really is not what God has for you. You may be in a relationship that God is pulling you away from, but you're refusing to obey. You may be just stagnant in your growth with the Lord because you're refusing to let Him go deeper into your soul. You may be hurting yourself and those close to you because you're refusing to open your eyes to the hurt that you're causing. It's called self-awareness. If you are there this morning, I want to imitate the captain's words to you right now. Arise, O sleeper. Wake up. Arise. God has a plan for your life that is far greater than you could ask, think, or imagine. Put aside your pride. Stop with the stubbornness. Get over that self-pity and wake up to the reality that God has so much for you and He wants you to get on the path that He has already paved. Arise, O sleeper. Will you wake up? Will you open your eyes to what God has for you today? Arise. So what happens next? You got to come back next week. Let's close in prayer. So Lord, open our eyes. Give us the courage to step into that call that you have for us. And for those that are in that season of discerning what that call is, Lord, show them, but give them patience in the meantime. Remind them that these times are the opportunity to sharpen those tools, to get ready for the greater thing that you have ahead. There's not a minute of our life that is out of your hand. But Lord, for those that are rebelling and know it, God, I pray that you gently break their heart so that they can allow you to put it back together. You are a God that has grace, and you can use the broken. It says you can make beauty out of ashes, and we ask that today. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.